who gives this bride to this man?
Her mother and I wholeheartedly do.
Please be seated. Let's sing now as we begin this special service, singing Psalter 251, all verses, 251, all verses.
Ask your attention for the reading of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 on this special occasion of the marriage of James and Esther. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And then the first three words of chapter 14, the conclusion, the application, follow after charity. Let's seek God's face together in prayer. Glorious and heavenly matchmaker, sovereign and triune God, thou who art altogether lovely and beautiful, in Jesus Christ, the perfect bridegroom, and in thy church sanctified, a beautiful bride. We thank thee for bringing James and Esther together to this very moment in the past 2.5 years, so that they may enter that sacred and lofty calling of reflecting this glorious relationship here on earth imperfectly, and we pray one day perfectly with Christ at the center. Lord, bless James and Esther as a married couple. Bless them with an ever-growing love for thee and for each other, and with a fear of thy name, so that they may walk in thy ways and eat the labor of their hands, and that it may be well with them, that they may be truly happy in the Lord Jesus Christ and truly happy in and with each other. Let Esther be as a fruitful, loving vine in their home. Grace them with children, we pray, God-fearing children, like olive plants round about their table. Children dedicated by them early and earnestly, dedicated to thee, raised by them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And confirm for James, Lord, that if he fears the Lord as head of the home, these blessings shall accrue to them as thou hast promised. Bless them in worshiping thee and thy house. Grant them to see thy church prosper all the days of their lives. Help them to remember that they are not being united together as angels, but as a son and a daughter of fallen Adam, both permeated with weaknesses and corruptions. So help them, Lord, not to expect too much of each other, and to be patient and forgiving toward each other, and do keep them from sin. Make them increasingly haters of sin and lovers of Christ and pursuers of holiness, remembering always that the fashion of this world passes away, and that every one of us must give an account of ourselves to God. Help them always to seek and advance each other's best welfare, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Preserve them, Lord, from spiritual adultery by seeking no God above thee, and from mental adultery by not tolerating lustful thoughts, and from physical adultery by fleeing infidelity, so that in all of life's troubles they may acquiesce with thy will and trust in thy goodness and recline on thy wisdom and rest on thy loving kindness. Please, Lord, let James pattern his marriage after Christ loving Esther purposefully, realistically, absolutely, sacrificially. Let Esther pattern her marriage after the church, showing loving submission and respect and reverence to her husband. Help them both to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And enable them one day, if thou dost tarry in the clouds, Lord Jesus, to see their children's children in peace upon thy spiritual Israel in this life and a better forever. And please bless us parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters on this happy day with a felt sense of thy love and thy goodness. And all the guests who are with us, Lord, may every one of us be born again and come into a personal spiritual marriage with the Son of God. And do bless this service now to thy glory, to the real profit of thy people, and to the genuine salvation of the lost, so that we might all be betrothed to the perfect bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We will now read the form for the confirmation of marriage. Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, James Neil Engelsma, and Esther Idelep Beke, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear, therefore, from the word of God how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. Wherefore, he also will, as he has promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary, judge and punish whoremongers and adulterers. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Therefore ye are not to doubt, but that the married state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he doth yet as with his hand bring into every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons, even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God hath instituted the same. The first reason is that each faithfully assists the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. And thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband, insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continence are bound by the command of God to enter into the married state with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectively towards the other according to the word of God. First, you, James, who art the bridegroom, must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ hath loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner must you, Esther, who are the bride, know how you are to carry yourself towards your husband according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things, as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be an help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands. As Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. You shall also be an help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. Wherefore you, James Inglesma, and you, Esther Beakey, having now understood that God hath instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, are you willing thus to behave yourselves in this holy state, as you here do confess before this Christian assembly, and desirous that you be confirmed in the same? What is your answer, James?
Yes.
And what is your answer, Esther?
Yes.
I take you all who are met here to witness that there is brought no lawful impediment. Since then it is fit that you be furthered in this your work, the Lord God confirm your purpose, which he hath given you, and your beginning be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I now request you to join hands and to answer the following questions. James Inglesma, do you acknowledge here before God and this his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Esther Beakey, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will live holily with her, keeping faith and truth to her in all things according to the holy gospel? What is your answer, James? Esther Beakey, do you acknowledge here before God and this his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband, James Inglesma, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband according to the holy gospel? What is your answer, Esther?
Yes.
I, James Inglesma.
Take thee, Esther Beakey.
To be my wedded wife.
And I do promise and covenant.
Before God and these witnesses.
To be thy loving and faithful husband.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
Until death do us part.
I, Esther Beakey.
Take thee, James Inglesma. To be my wedded husband.
And I do promise and covenant.
And I do promise and covenant
before God and these witnesses,
before God and these witnesses,
to be thy loving and faithful wife,
to be thy loving and faithful wife,
in plenty and in want,
in plenty and in want,
in joy and in sorrow,
in joy and in sorrow,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health,
until death do us part,
until death do us part.
May I now request the wedding rings which you desire to exchange. These rings are the tokens and symbols of the covenant made between you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one only true and triune God, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. James, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to your bride?
I do.
Esther, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to your bridegroom?
I do.
By the authority committed unto me as a minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, I declare that James and Esther are now husband and wife, according to the ordinance of God and the law of the state of Michigan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Father of all mercies, who of his grace hath called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you his blessing. Amen. James and Esther, it's my incredible privilege to bring you God's word on this very, very special occasion. We are just overjoyed. We are so blessed as families, and I speak on behalf of all four parents, that you are both so dear to us. We love you so much, we can't put it into words. You've given both of you, both of your parents, a lot of joy in this life. And we look forward now to that joy being multiplied. A lot of people have asked us, how are you going to feel giving away your daughter, or giving away your son? And we feel we're just getting another son, another daughter as four parents. Neither one of you have ever given a single gray hair to any of the four of us. You've been very, very special children. And it's such a joy that James and Becky and Mary and I could talk together and discover that from a little child, both of you were very trustworthy and we could always trust you. And that gives parents a real wonderful feeling inside. So we want to thank you for the joy you've brought to our lives. We've also rejoiced when we've seen the Lord begin his work of grace in your souls. I'll never forget, James, when you came to me as your pastor. I think you were 15, maybe 16, and you were struggling with assurance of faith. We had that beautiful heart-to-heart talk. I remember thinking as you walked away, you don't know that, but I watched you as you walked away, and I thought, boy, someday, some young woman's going to have a wonderful husband. That young man. Never dreaming it would be my Esther. And then there was the day I was sitting in the motel room. And Esther sent me a letter. Just said, "Dear Dad, would you proof this?" It was a college application. I opened up the file. And there it said, "Tell me how Tell us how you became a Christian. And Esther, you weren't very free to speak about it, but you could write about it better. And it was so beautiful and so simple. I just broke down in tears. And I remember writing back to you, honey, I wouldn't change one word. But just tell your mother, show your mother. And that night I talked with Mary and I just said, did Esther show you what she wrote? She said, yes. Did you cry? Yes. Did you cry? Yes. Tears of joy. Tears of joy. And then the tears of joy in seeing you grow together in love. Oh, it's so special. Your courtship has been so beautiful to behold. Seems like ever since James entered your life, Esther, your naturally big smile has become about an inch bigger. And as you've come to love him more and more, you just seem so happy. And now you're one. You're finally one after 900 and some days. What a blessing. And all four of us parents, let that be a comfort to you, are absolutely convinced that you two are meant from each other from all eternity. I'll never forget talking with James and Mr. Engelsman in the parking lot, and he was telling me how Esther was just the right person for James. I said, really? That's how we feel about James for Esther. And then there was the day, Esther, when you said to me, Dad, I love you, but I found a man even better than you. And I said, honey, that's just the way it should be. And by the way, I agree with you. So James, we welcome you. We welcome you into our family with all our heart. And I know the Englishmen feel the very same about you, Esther. In all your relationship, you have just carried it on so honorably. I want to thank you, James, for fulfilling your promise when you first came to me and asked if you could get to know Esther better. You remember I told you the story about the couple in Mississippi where we went, and there was tension in the home because a young man asked a young lady out, but the young lady said, you've got to go see my dad, and the young man wouldn't do it. And so there was tension in the home, and when we got there at that home, they were strangers to us. The father asked us, did I do wrong? It was a very wealthy home, and I told you about the Rolls Royce in the garage and how my wife responded to him and said, if a young stranger came on the door and said, give me your keys, I want to take your Rolls Royce for a spin, what would you say? You'd say, no, come on in. I've got to get to know you a little bit. This is a valuable car. And then my wife said to this family, isn't your daughter more valuable than a Rolls Royce? And I told you that story, James. And I said, you can get to know Esther better, but I want you to treat her like a Rolls Royce because she's a tender person. And you promised me that day, I'll treat her better than a Rolls Royce. And you have. And I'm grateful to you. But now, after 2.5 years, I want you to go on treating each other better than a Rolls Royce. Forever. As long as you have together in this life. And if you both put God first, and each other second, and yourself third, I promise you that 25 years from now, you'll love each other a lot more than you do now. You may think it's not possible, but it's sure when you walk in the fear and the ways of God. And so I want to give you just a short message on a wonderful wedding text. And it's the Old Testament parallel with 1 Corinthians 13, Song of Solomon 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. This is a wonderful text. It's all about genuine love, love to Christ that's reflected in love in a great marriage. And I want to just speak about two things with you. First, about love's prayer on the part of the bride to the bridegroom. And second, about love's character shown from the bridegroom to the bride. Love's prayer and love's character. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. The bride is asking, first of all, she yearns to be precious in Christ's esteem. She says, set me as a seal, as a signet ring of great value upon your heart. A seal is a proof of authenticity, that I belong to you. And so, Esther, that's got to be your prayer in marriage, both to your heavenly husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your earthly husband, James. Set me as a seal upon thy heart. I want to belong to Christ. I want to belong to my husband. And then second, the bride yearns to dwell in her bridegroom's love. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. You don't want to just be able to say, I'm married to James, or I know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you want Christ's heart. You want your husband's heart. And so, Esther, your prayer must always be, both to Christ and to James, I want to give you my heart, but I also want your heart. And then thirdly, the bride yearns to enjoy the benefit of Christ's intercession. Setting as a seal upon the bridegroom's heart really alludes to jewels engraven as a signet on the breast of the high priest. So you're really praying here in this text, be thou my high priest, Lord Jesus. Let my name be written on thy breastplate near thy heart. So let Christ be your heavenly intercessor for you, Esther. And let James be your earthly intercessor in personal prayer and family worship. And then fourth, the bride yearns to be protected and be defended by Christ's might and power. Set me as a seal upon thine arm, the text goes on to say. So that's got to be your prayer, Esther. Always be near to me, Lord Jesus. And dear husband, James, to thy loving heart, but also, Lord Jesus, to thy almighty arm. Let me be carried in thy high priestly arms. Be my strength, be my protection. But also let James be that to you. Be a woman of God. Let him feel good and great that he can protect you and defend you. Don't try to do everything yourself. Let him fill his role that you might be a seal upon James's arm. And then fifthly, the bride yearns in turn to express and satisfy the will of the one loved. You see, that's what a seal does for any writing on which it is impressed. And so, Esther, not only God's will, but I hope you will show your desire to please your husband, to please his will, to respect him, to show him submission. That's a man's greatest need. Let this prayer be your prayer to God, to Christ, and to your husband. And then you see, secondly, in this text, love's character from the bridegroom to the bride. The text goes on to say five quick things. Number one, love is strong. For love is as strong as death. And death reigns. Death is strong. Who can resist death? But love is as strong. Sickness cannot kill it. Disaster cannot kill it. Martyrs prove it. They faced death. They vanquished. They loved not their lives unto the death, the Bible says. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. James, love Christ that way. And love your bride that way. Love him strongly. And love Esther strongly. You can't love her too strongly. Ephesians 5:25 says, as long as it's under Christ, Ephesians 5:25 says Christ gave himself. He loved his church and gave himself for her. That's how strong love is. You have to be willing to give yourself away. A second, James, love is tenacious. Jealousy, the text goes on to say, is as cruel as the grave. This is not the nasty, cruel, selfish, negative form of jealousy, which is dreadful. But the bride here, or the bridegroom here, is speaking of the intensity of his love. It's a love of positive zeal, a love that tolerates no rivals, a love that is firm and tenacious, as unyielding as the grave. I'm going to love Esther. I'm going to love the Lord no matter what anyone says. You see, that's why Jesus Christ is your pattern here too, because he loves firmly those whom he loves. He says, my sheep shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hands. Let your love be like that to Esther, a kind of positive, jealous, zealous love that nothing can come between you and her because you love her so much. And thirdly, this love is vehement. The text goes on to say the coals of this love are like coals of fire, which have a vehement flame. Well, if you think about what the fire does, it melts, it fuses, it subdues all that comes under its power. It's vehement. So Christ's love sweeps away his people. When you feel the love of Christ overwhelm you, it's vehement. You're smitten with one look, like Peter in the hall of Caiaphas. That's the way we are to love. The original actually says, the flame of Yahweh, the flame of Jehovah. God's love is so vehement that he compares it to a flame. That divine love is stronger than death. It's hotter than fire. It's unquenchable. Let the vehemence of that love, in a quiet, deep way, James, make so much impact on Esther that showing you reverence and submission becomes easy work. And then fourthly, this love is unquenchable. The text goes on to say, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. I just love those words, don't you? Because you're going to face waters of affliction in your marriage, and the waters are going to come up to your knees sometimes up to your waist, sometimes you're going to feel like it goes over your head, but Song of Solomon says, it cannot be drowned. Love cannot be drowned. And why can't it be drowned? Because Christ went through everything and gave himself and poured out his blood. It gave himself away for his bride. And, well, you think? Satan even thought he was being drowned on the cross. He was dying. He was being defeated. But he arose again victorious. This love now sits as king upon the floods of life's trials. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He will help you, James and Esther, in everything that comes your way if you just trust in him and confide in him and take everything to him. No matter how big the problem, no matter how burdensome the trial, bring it to him and your love shall not be quenched. It's unquenchable. And finally, it's invaluable. That's how the text concludes. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contempt, utterly despised. In other words, this love of Christ in your lives, which are reflected in your love to each other, in the Christ-Church relationship that you're trying to emulate by the grace of God, that love is far more valuable than anything else you'll ever do, anything you'll ever own, everything you'll ever work after. This is the center of spiritual life, the center of your marital life, the center of joy. Follow after charity. This is great love. You know, I once visited a widow, and she had a beautiful home. She had original paintings throughout the home. And that was about, her husband had died a year or so before I came here. And I commented how beautiful her home was. And she said, it's all nothing. I was taken aback. I said, what do you mean? She said, my husband isn't here. It's all nothing. When these paintings were here and my husband was here, I enjoyed this home. I don't enjoy this home now. It's my husband was my love. He was my life. James and Esther, treasure the Lord Jesus Christ. Treasure each other. You're God's gift to each other. Don't speak harshly. Love each other. Love each other. Receive that love by faith as God's gift. God has love for sinners. He has love for you. Reflect that love and tenderness to each other. And our greatest joy as parents would be that you would be able to say all your lifetime, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I pray that will ever be your portion, and that you will ever know God's tenacious love in Jesus Christ, his never-dying love, so that you will be able to say with confidence, like David in Psalm 16, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." My dear son, James, and my dear daughter, Esther, if you have that all your life, your moms and dads will never have to worry about anything about you. God's path of life, God's presence of joy, God's pleasure forevermore. It's an all-inclusive joy. It's an all-inclusive promise. It's a forevermore. It won't even be taken from you when you die and when your marriage comes to an end. Many waters cannot quench love. Go on loving, grow in loving, seek to love God forever, to love each other with passion and relish and joy and treasure each other in the love of Jesus Christ. And dear family, and dear friends, do we too possess this love? Does this love absorb us? And do we evidence it and reflect it? You know, everything I basically said to James and Esther right now, we not only need in our marriages, but we need in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So please, friends, don't, and family, don't rest short of a personal saving relationship with God through the Son of His love. Don't rest short of knowing this bridegroom. So may God bless us as families and as friends, and maybe one day meet as an undivided family, reserved on the day of judgment for the heavenly mansions above. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19. The Pharisees came to him, tempting him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.' They say unto him, 'Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, to put her away?' He saith unto them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.' Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God hath joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen." I now request the guests who are present to sing Psalter 51, all stanzas. We'll sing that standing, please, and afterward you may be seated again. 51.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a help meet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity, we pray thee, since thou hast called and united James and Esther in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live holy according to thy divine will and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them, in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. James and Esther, it's my privilege to present you with a copy of the Reformation Heritage KJV Study Bible, a leather edition given to you by the consistory. And I trust you will use it and that it will be a great blessing to you, the Bible, but also the family worship notes. Read them aloud together and talk about them so that from day one in your marriage, you'll get used to always talking about spiritual things every day. And then when children come along, if the Lord would be pleased to give you them, that will just then be very natural to speak with them as well. May God bless you, and may the words of His Word be the compass that guides you over all the seas and storms of this world and bring you into an eternal, safe haven that will lead to a glorious heaven. I pray that there will be times in your marriage that your tears will fall on those pages as you grieve over your own indwelling sin, but also as you rejoice in a glorious Savior. And as you strive, as Thomas Watson said, to sweating work all the way to heaven, as you strive to live a life of holiness in this antithetical calling we have to live contrary to this world. May God bless you with a life of holiness. May the world pale in significance. And may you be able to say all your life, having Esther with me, James, and the Word in one hand and Esther in the other, as the picture will be when you walk out, this is my double strength and this has helped me in my spiritual pilgrimage to heaven. And Esther, that you would be able to say, having James at my side and the Word of God open before me, has been my great double help on my journey to heaven. That, after all, is what marriage is all about, to help each other to the glory of God, that you might present each other on the great day as a bride and a bridegroom without spot and without wrinkle in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Dear Mary, James, and Becky, it's really a special day for all of us. And I know that your joy is as great as Mary and ours, and we're so happy. The Puritans used to arrange the marriages for their children. We didn't quite go that far, but we wouldn't have picked anyone better. And so we're grateful that God has done the picking and that He's the heavenly matchmaker. I was just saying to Esther before we came up together, just alone a few minutes, I said what gives us so much comfort is we know the Lord has to protect you, the Holy Spirit has to lead you, but we have confidence that you're off to a good start, and we believe that you've got a stable spouse who wants to lead you in the right way, and that's just so comforting. So I want to thank you on behalf of Mary too, James and Becky, for all you've done to train your son. And I do pray that the four of us will be able in some way to keep modeling, albeit with shortcomings, for our dear children, what it means to be passionately and zealously in love as husband and wife with the Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. Many times we feel we failed, and I'm sure you feel the same thing. But sometimes I've thought, well, despite all my failures, at least my children know that I love my wife. And that's been a little comfort to me. Because we make so many mistakes as parents, don't we all? But we've got to go back. We've got to go back to the Word as well. We've got to let that be our guide and our compass. The Bible is still the best marriage textbook on the market. And so we trust in the Word. And thank you so much, Mary. You've been such a special mommy. I love you so much as a wife, but I love you so much also as a mother. And your constant care and concern to raise our children with integrity, spiritual and natural integrity, has deeply impressed all of us. And grandpas and grandma, we are so happy that you can be here today. We know there's an empty place in the past. And we know that Grandma Inglesmo would have been very happy with this marriage. But we do pray for you, that God will bless you all. And we thank you so much for the examples that you set for us. God is a wonderful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. What a blessing it is to see his covenant go from generation to generation. It's a very, very special thing. And brothers and sisters, and children, just serve the Lord. Give him your whole heart. There's no other way to live. There's no other way to die. And friends and guests, you've got to be married. We've got to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. That alone gives real meaning in life, real joy, stability, purpose, meaning, fulfillment. It's all in Christ. Let's go to him. Let's end in him as the perfect bridegroom through his word. Through the gift of the written word, may we know the living word unto life eternal. And knowing the living word, we know the triune God who is all and in all, now and forever. We close then with a reading of Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that you may live long together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. We will close this service with the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. I now have the great privilege of presenting to you Mr. and Mrs. James Inglesma III.